Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time today, and we just ask, Lord, that your presence would be here in a mighty way, and Lord, that you would bless the singing and the special and the ministry of the word to our hearts. Lord, that you would be glorified here today, for that's really our purpose in gathering here. It's to lift up Jesus, and for we ask this in your precious name, amen. Let's stand.
Most holy God, faithful through the ages, almighty, most holy Lord, glorious almighty God. The beasts of the field, the birds of the air, are silent to call out your name.
Probably couldn't sit down on if you wanted to. Page 539, when we all get to heaven.
Traveling days are over.
you today. You don't have to greet everybody, but greet those around you. We'll start on the third verse again. Well, up here, we'll start on the third. We'll sing the third and fourth. When you're done visiting, come back and join us.
Let us daily, truly, faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay.
Songbooks, page number 231. It is mine, and I know this talks about peace, but you know the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and what is that treasure? That treasure is the Prince of Peace. That treasure is Jesus, also known as the Almighty God. It is mine. Say, it is mine, this priceless treasure ever. And that's what Josh and I are singing. If you want to join us and sing that, you can. It is mine, this priceless treasure ever. Blessed be His name. If you want to try to get that in, you can. It's kind of fun.
Oh, the love of God is
Thank you. to say I love the Lord. And I remember a guy a few years ago came up here, and he had an old Fender acoustic guitar, and he sang a song. And I didn't make it here last Tuesday, but, you know, I haven't forgotten that song that that guy sang, his brother, Brother Lynch. And I was going to do that song. Many times in my childhood, as we traveled so far, by nightfall, how dreary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me, so gently he'd say, "My son, we're going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. There's nothing that can hold me here, because I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, I'm going home. I can feel the twilight, it's starting to fade. I get so homesick the farther I roam. Father's arms have led me each step of life's way, and now I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. There's nothing that can hold here, because I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. There's nothing that can hold me here, because I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, I'm going home. Praise God, I'm going home. He may have made it, but there's still people here carrying the torch. I'd like to talk about another guy that he probably spent 40 years singing gospel music. sang with a gospel group called the Happy Goodmans. His name was Rusty Goodman, and wrote many, many songs. And he probably inspired millions of people. But last spring, I was watching Bill Gaither one night on TNN, and they did a tribute to some of the people that had spent their lives in gospel music. And it floored me when his daughter stood up and said a lot of good things about Rusty Goodman, but I didn't know that Rusty Goodman died from alcohol. But he wrote many of songs, and there's a lot of songs that I remember. I'll do one that goes like this here. It's called "Who Am I?" Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? he would pray, not my will, thine for. The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. To the old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? I'll come back next week and sing that. I'll do this one here. I don't worry about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. And I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. And I don't worry about the future, him, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand.
Bill.
I'd like us all to stand, just because it's a little bit easier for those of you that would like to be anointed with oil today and be prayed for to come forward. If you need a touch in your body, we're going to ask you to come right away as we sing this chorus. There is none like you. We'd like to pray for you today. So if you'd like prayer, touch in the body, or for somebody else, or a special need in your life, you come as we sing this chorus, and we'll anoint you and pray over you.
There is none like you.
sing this chorus two times. The last time we'll put the special ending on it.
All right.
Take this moment to just love the Lord at moments like these.
Moments.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 in your Bible. Just want to remind you that next Sunday, I think it'll be a message that will encourage you and affect generations to come. We want to talk about generational things, how we can pass on blessings, how we can break curses. Do you know that there are some families, they just have a propensity for righteousness? Everybody in their family gets saved and they just have a real heart for God. There are other families that have a propensity for waywardness. And we want to tell you how you can affect righteously generations to come. Hebrews chapter 4 for today. The title of the message is Let Us Therefore. Let Us Therefore. And I would like to read the entire chapter. Watch the Let Us Therefores as we go through this chapter, because there is a number of them. We begin with one. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fail or fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. The word therefore is a characteristic word in the book of Hebrews. The phrase let us is a characteristic phrase of Hebrews chapter 4. And today we're going to look at four of those. Let us. First of all, let us therefore fear. You find that right away in verse 1. Let us therefore fear. We need to have this alertness. We don't want to miss opportunities. We fear lest we might miss out on God's best, like as if we might miss out on some opportunity that God would allow us to have. The book of Hebrews points back to an example in the early history of the nation of Israel. And to this day, it remains a national stain for them. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 17 says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? I want you to know today, church, that nothing costs you more than unbelief. Unbelief blinds the eyes and dulls the imagination. Unbelief cost the Israelites an entire generation. They didn't enter into the land of Canaan. They didn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. Their unbelief centered around God's ability. One generation lacked the faith in the ability of God to see them through, and they did not enter in that generation. The next generation did enter because of their faith. I want you to know the only difference between the Israelites that wandered for 40 years in the wilderness and the Israelites that went in and possessed the promised land, the only difference from one generation to the next was that one had unbelief and the other generation had faith. It was the only difference. One doubted God's ability. They saw the giants in the land. They knew that the land was prosperous, that it was a land filled with milk and honey. They saw the fruits of it, but they doubted God's ability to get them in there. The only difference between the two was unbelief and faith. Unbelief keeps us from experiencing God's best, God's promises, and God's best for our lives. God's best is only experienced by faith, because your faith is always based upon a finished work. And that's why it's called rest. Notice that it's called rest here. This work was finished. And all they had to do was then rest in faith in what God had already done and accomplished. We rest in faith on what Christ has already done. Now, too often we think that to miss God's best is regrettable, but it's not serious. I want you to know that that is not true. That is not true. If you miss God's best, don't say, I regret that. That's regrettable, but it's not serious. It's serious to miss out on anything that God would have for us. It's serious to miss out on the best that God has and to fall short of all that we can have and all that we can be. It's serious. Unbelief is not always and necessarily defiance or open hostility to divine revelation or requirement. You know, there is a condition in the Christian life that is not hostile, and it's not being loyal either. It's neutral. It's neutral. It's lukewarmness. It's the status quo. It's being an average Christian. It isn't going forward. It isn't going backward. It's just indifference. The status quo. Unbelief is a destroyer. It is to faith what a mongoose is to a cobra. You know, not many animals will mess with a cobra. But the mongoose is a worthy animal. We have this little computer program. It's called Dangerous Creatures. And I wish I could have put this up for you today somehow so you all could have seen it. This mongoose attacks a cobra and defeats it. This little mammal can tolerate a dose of the snake's venom. And a mongoose is very quick. And those two animals, the cobra and the mongoose, will usually avoid each other. But when they get in a fight, the contest usually ends with the mongoose eating a dead cobra. Unbelief will do that to faith. Unbelief will kill your faith. It will destroy your faith. And another thing is that unbelief has no rest. It will plague the believer all the way to the doorstep of heaven. You cannot play with indifference. You cannot play with unbelief. Let us therefore fear, the writer of Hebrews said. Let us therefore fear lest, because he knew that unbelief was like a bandit. It would rob you. Let us therefore fear missing out on the best that God would have. Let us therefore fear that through unbelief we might not reach the promises that God has for us. The second one is, let us labor, therefore, in verse 11. Let us labor, therefore. You need to be willing to bend the back. You need to be willing to sweat. Incorporate the disciplines of diligence, aches, and pains into your program. Respect work and Christian service. You know, Christian work is never easy, but it is always rewarding. The Christian life takes faith and work. While we are exercising faith, let's not forget to be busy about our Father's business. You know, too many of us want Jesus to do it. You don't have to raise your hand, but do you ever pray that way? You know, Lord Jesus, I just want you to do this. Change that prayer to, Jesus, help me to do it. Help me to do it. Bible says to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Will Rogers said, what the world needs is cleaner minds and dirtier fingernails. And if that's what the world needs, that's what the Christian needs even more. cleaner minds and dirtier fingernails. There are no shortcuts for the ministry or the mission field. You work because you know you will find it if you seek. If we invest with him, we will also succeed with him. You'll know the fellowship of his sufferings. You'll know the triumph of his resurrection. It's true. It's a true statement. You get out what you put in with a lot, lot more. The third, let us, is found in verse 14. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. Here's the sequence. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Because we have certain possessions, we are to strive after further advantages. We're going to be talking more on that this evening. Because you already have certain advantages and possessions, we can use those to our benefit to gain even more advantages. Don't quit now. There are further benefits down the road. Jesus is the baptizer. Jesus is the counselor. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the provider. What is it that you need today? Jesus is the answer to that. Jesus is the answer to that need. Don't let your faith shrink. Don't let your faith diminish. You are not serving a martyr. Just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean that he was a martyr. His death, his resurrection, and ascension have definite advantages to you. Don't let them slip away. In another passage in Hebrews, we are told, chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, but then it adds, without wavering. He is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Can I warn you? Don't open your convictions up for analysis. Believe what you believe with dogmatism. Hold fast. Sink your teeth into it. I've seen too many people that I thought were Christians going back into the world or following cults or some other thing. Don't open your convictions up for analysis. Sink your teeth into them and hold on to them. Hold fast the profession of your faith. It's always your faith and convictions that are attacked. You know, the devil is not really concerned about your religious preferences. He's not concerned about your preferences. Satan's target is your faith. Your faith. Be willing to die for your convictions. Not your preferences, but your convictions. And God give us the wisdom to know the difference. There are some things that we must hang on to no matter what. The doctrine of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ is a non-negotiable doctrine. We will hang on to that. Hang on to your profession of faith. Hang on to your convictions. Christianity does not live by compromise, concession, or calculated arrangement with the enemy. Christianity is everything or nothing. There are no halfway measures. And if I don't hold fast my profession, the enemy will take it from me. I dare not let down. You cannot let down. I know how this sounds to you. This sounds awfully tough this morning. What got into Pastor? This is kind of tough today. You know what? It's right. It's hard to fear. It's difficult to labor. And it's not easy to hold fast high goals. They require a lot. But let me share with you where you get the strength to do this. It's in the fourth, let us therefore. It's in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This therefore, in this verse, makes the other therefores possible. The fact that we can go before the throne of grace to find help and mercy in time of need makes it easier for us, or at least possible for us, to not fear, to labor, and to hold fast our profession. Let us therefore. The words that are impressive to me here are two words. They are throne and grace. There is no greater authority than the throne. There is no greater appeal than the throne. It's the ultimate. We don't know what that means exactly because we don't have a kingship. We're not ruled by a monarchy here. But there is no higher authority than the throne. You cannot appeal to anyone greater than the one who sits on the throne. And where is it the Christian is directed? The Christian is directed right there. The Christian is directed to the throne. I may not find help and mercy. You may not find help and mercy from your pastor. You might not find help and mercy from your church board or whatever, but I know that you will find help and mercy at the throne room of God. I know you'll find help there. You know, I've learned something in just a little bit of experience I had. I've learned that the top man is almost always approachable. It's so hard to get to that top guy. But once you get to the top, he's a lot more easier to deal with than those under him. The door to the executive throne room is always open. You don't have to worry about trying to get through people to get to God. You don't have to worry about trying to get through a priest to go to your mediator, Jesus Christ. His door is always open. The door to the throne room is always open. You can go right on in. No appointments are necessary. No prearrangements need to be made. The door is open. And Jesus is the door, and he is always open. And so let us come, therefore, boldly. Let us boldly come because Jesus is the door. He's not blocking the door. He holds the door wide open. Come through me. I am the way to the Father, Jesus says. I came across a story. I'd actually heard it before. Actually, a story I love. I love this story. But I thought it interested this. I thought it magnified this whole passage in Hebrews really, really well. The title of this story is A Dance Becomes a Revival. One time there was a particular dance, and a preacher found himself at that dance, and he did something at that dance to start a revival. What did he do? Let me share that story with you. It was a Saturday night in an inn on the road through the Cumberland Mountains in the spring of 1820. A crowd of the settlers from the vicinity were gathering for the Saturday night dance. All was jolly as the company took off their wraps. The floor was cleared, and the old fiddler tuned up his fiddle. In a far corner of the room sat Peter Cartwright, prominent Methodist circuit rider of Kentucky. On his way home from the General Conference in Baltimore, night had overtaken him near this inn. The host had warned him of the dance and said that he could not promise him much quiet or rest that evening. However, since the next inn was 7 miles farther on, and it was now dark and the road strange and dangerous, he decided to stay. As Cartwright sat as inconspicuously as possible, you can see him trying to maybe hide in his corner, with his hat pulled down over his face, hoping nobody would notice him. As he sat there, he was noticing pleasantly that the company was quite respectable and that little drinking was going on. However, as the music struck up and the dance began, he felt very much out of place. As he sat meditating on what he should do, he resolved to find some way to invite all these people to a service the next day. As he was about to approach the host and ask permission to use this room for the service, he was surprised to see the most beautiful young lady in the room approaching him gaily with an inviting smile on her face. She paused in front of him and with a graceful bow addressed him. "Sure," she said, "you should not be sitting here all by yourself. We are a friendly people and would love to have you enjoy the evening with us. Come and dance this dance with me." For an instant, Peter was taken aback. He did not know what to do. Then he resolved on a desperate experiment. He arose and bowed to the young lady. She moved to his right. He grasped her right hand with his, and they moved to the middle of the floor. All of the company seemed pleased, and with smiles all around, made place for them. The fiddler, was about to strike up, but holding up his hand to restrain him, Peter quickly addressed the whole group. "Friends," he said, "I am grateful for the kind way in which you have all received me. I am thankful to this charming young lady for her courtesy. However, for many years, I have never undertaken any matter of importance without asking the blessing of God upon it. See, let us therefore fear. So now I desire to seek God's blessing upon this kind and beautiful young lady and upon all of you people who have treated me so kindly. Let us all kneel down and pray," wanting to keep the profession of his faith. First of all, he was concerned about doing a good work there. He feared lest his testimony would be marred, and he wanted to hold the profession of a good faith. So quickly, Peter dropped to his knees and started to pray. His fair partner tried to get away, but he held on to her right hand tightly, and she too fell upon her knees. At first, all of the company were astonished and stood looking on in amazement. Then some knelt. Others stood watching. Some fled to the door. Meanwhile, the preacher prayed with all that he could pray, with all of his might, for the whole company, and that the converting power of God would fall upon all of them. As Cartwright prayed, some began to weep, and some began to pray aloud to God for mercy. His prayer concluded, the preacher arose and began to exhort the whole group to turn to Christ for salvation. As a result of this daring venture of Peter Cartwright, 32 people were organized into a church with the landlord of the inn as the new leader of that group. I want you to know that God can do great things if we will take a righteous stand for him, if we will hold fast our profession, if we fear lest we displease him, if we endeavor to work and to labor to the best of our ability, God will give tremendous results. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. All we need to do is go to the throne of grace, as Peter Cartwright did, maybe in a measure of desperation there. "Lord, I'm in a jam. Get me out." But he went to the throne of grace and he found help. And many there found mercy in their time of need. There was one verse that I wanted to share with you. One more verse. From Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12. "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." Jesus is my covering. Jesus is my association. I can go into the throne room with him. And you know what? I will. I'll do just that. I'll go into the throne room with him. You're here today. Jesus is your covering. He is your means of access to the Father. You can go into the throne room with him. You can go into the very throne room of Almighty God today. Jesus will go with you. You don't even have to go alone. He'll take you by the hand. He'll lead you in there. He'll introduce you to the Father. Do you think you'll go today? Do you think you'll go? While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm going to actually give four chances to you to respond to this commitment. Four chances. The first one is, Christian, how is your faith? How's your faith? Is it shot with unbelief? Unbelief is a destroyer. There is nothing wrong with unbelief as long as you don't stay there, as long as you don't stay in unbelief. The disciples said, "Lord, basically I want to believe. Help my unbelief." You're here today and there are areas of your life you want to believe, but you have some honest unbelief. There's some doubts. Maybe it's in God's ability or whatever, but there is doubt there. And you would like your faith strengthened today. Would you raise your hand to the Lord, up and then down? Amen. Amen. A number of you. Thank you for your honesty today. We can't always be as holy as we'd like, but we can be honest. And really, that's the step to holiness. Honesty. Honesty. Thank you for your honesty. We'll pray for you in just a moment. Are there others here? You look at your life and you're not really doing as much for the Lord as you want to do. The level of work is not there. Your prayer has been, Jesus, do it. Your prayer has not been, Jesus, help me to do it. But Lord, through you want to change that, turn that around today and say, Lord, give me the grace to become a worker. I want to work. I haven't worked like I should. I haven't worked like I know you want me to, but I want to be a worker. Could I see your hands up and then down? Amen. Amen. And then there are some today that are lacking in their profession. Maybe you're here today and you've never profess Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I'm giving you that opportunity today. All you need to do is ask Jesus into your heart. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, and He'll come in. He promises that He will come in. And it doesn't matter what you have done, He will come in and He will save you. He'll give you eternal life. As many as received Him, to them He gives the power to become the sons and daughters of God. If you've not asked Jesus to be your Savior, please do it today. Anybody here? By an uplifted hand, you would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I've not done this before, but I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. Anybody? Amen. Okay. Then how about, is there anybody here? You once held fast that profession, but you've allowed yourself to slide back into the world ways and worldly philosophies, and you have not stood for the Lord like you know you should have stood. You haven't stood for your convictions. You've allowed your convictions to go by the wayside. I want to encourage you to hold fast that profession again. Get right with God. Anybody here? Pastor, would you pray for me? That's me. I've let my convictions go by the wayside. Amen. Amen. Like the prodigal, you're coming home today. You're going to pick up those convictions again and sink your teeth into them and hold them tighter. Thank you. And one last request. You have a need. I don't care what the need is today. You have a need. Let us go, therefore, to the throne of grace that we might find help and mercy in that time of need. Just by an uplifted hand, Pastor, pray for me. I have a need. I have a need. I'm going to the throne of grace. All right, let us go there together. Let us go there together. Lord, we thank you for Jesus ushering us into the presence of Almighty God today, into the throne room of heaven. We thank you for this awesome privilege that is ours. And Lord, I pray, first of all, for those that are here with unbelief in their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would perform surgery on them today and take out that unbelief. Lord, instead, replace it with faith. Lord, give the gift of faith where necessary today. Lord, root out the unbelief in all of our lives. Help us to put our complete trust and our confidence in you, because you will never fail us. You will never let us down. We can always go to your throne room. You will always be there. Lord, I pray for those that have determined that they want to get their hands dirty working for your kingdom, to be more involved in Christian service. Lord, bless them and help them, and help them to know that they will find when they seek. It's part of the gospel to assure the worker that we enter into the joy of the Lord, the joy of service. Lord, I pray that you would help them to do that, that you would give increase, you would get results as they put the effort in. Lord, that they invest with you, they will also succeed with you. And then I pray, Lord, for those that are returning back to you, Lord, to once again pick up the profession of their faith. Lord, may they sink their teeth into it. May they hold it with clenched fists, not let it go this time. May they not let their profession of faith shrink ever again. Help them to see the advantages of being a Christian and the blessings that await them as they take advantage of these blessings, these advantages. And then, Lord, we pray for those that have needs today. We do come boldly to your throne of grace. I ask that you would meet every need. I ask that you would demonstrate your incredible mercy. And I pray that you would give the power and desire to do your will in their time of need. Give them grace, amazing grace, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for bearing with me through a rather lengthy altar call today. But let us therefore fear unbelief. Let us therefore labor. Let us therefore hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us therefore go boldly to the throne of grace whenever we need to. You know what I'm discovering? Whenever we need to means all the time. I need to go to the throne of grace continually. Continue all the time. I need to approach that throne. Let's stand and be dismissed. Pastor Craig, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?